My guest at this time is South Carolina Republican Congressman Mick Mulvaney. He represents the Palmetto State's 5th Congressional District, and he's a member of the House Financial Services and Small Business Committees. He's joined us many times to talk about the politics of budgeting and the debt ceiling, both of which are coming up in the next few weeks. The government is right now only funded through the end of September, and a couple weeks after that, the Treasury Department says our debt ceiling will be reached. The president wants a clean extension, Republicans saying not so fast. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, Greg. It's good to be back.
Let's start with the continuing resolution, since that one hits us first at the end of September. Right now, the big debate within the Republican ranks seems to be whether or not to make a stand on trying to defund Obamacare, since it's expected to be implemented full freight, minus the administration's own imposed delays at the start of next year. Where do you see that debate right now, and how do you expect that to play out within the party?
Well, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, we had a conference call, and it seemed to be the plan, at least the offered plan from our leadership, that we were going to go ahead and fund the government with Obamacare. And I think the pushback on that was so significant that I don't think the votes exist for that, Greg. I don't think that the support that exists within the Republican Party to not fight. Now we have to fight. I think more and more people are hearing that. It's not just folks that you might think ordinarily, you know, sort of the extreme right wing of the party. It's a lot of the guys more in the center who are hearing from their districts back home that folks don't want to fund Obamacare. So I think you're going to see us, take that issue up as soon as we get back. Of course, all of this conversation today is taken against this backdrop of what's happening in Syria, but certainly we do run out of money at the end of the month, so we have to deal with this right away. And when we do, I cannot imagine us not dealing with Obamacare in some fashion, at least as part of this discussion.
It seems as though the public, if you look at the polls, and they're to be believed, the public can't stand Obamacare, but they're also not crazy about defunding right now. And maybe it's because of the threat of a government shutdown rather than simply defunding Obamacare. So how do you win the PR fight if, in fact, this strategy goes forward?
It's real simple. Is it like, look, we want to fund everything. We want to fund everything in the government. Everything that everybody likes, we want to fund, except Obamacare. The president has admitted it's not ready. That's not just a tacit admission. As you mentioned, he's unilaterally extended parts of it beyond January 1st of next year. Not sure how he can do that legally, but for the sake of this discussion, let's say it's valid. I mean, he's admitted that it's not ready, so why would we continue to spend a bunch of money on it? I think the marketing there is very simple. We don't want to shut the government down. I think we should send a bill over to the Senate and the president and says, look, we're going to keep every single part of this government open, except the part that doesn't exist yet in Obamacare, that isn't ready yet in Obamacare. And I think that's a fairly, you know, listen, we do lousy messaging most of the time. That's when we might even be able to win.
And so what do you expect to happen then? Do you think that Senate Democrats or the president might give in on that? They certainly don't seem like they're ready to. Or do you think we'll actually shut down the government for a while?
I don't think they'll give in, and I think it's kind of absurd to think that with control of, you know, just the House, we're going to be able to undo the president's signature piece of legislation. But we might be able to make some progress. We might be able to get some wins. For example, we might get the IRS out of health care. We might be able to change the rules on the conscience provisions within the HHS mandate regarding employers who, you know, object to contraception and abortion based upon their religious principles, make some progress there. We might get rid of this IPAP. We might get rid of the medical device tax. There's a lot of small victories that we could get, but we're not going to get them if our opening bid is, let's just fund the whole bill. So I'm hoping that we do send a strong message that we are not going to fully fund Obamacare and then leave it up to the president to shut the government down over that issue.
One thing we've heard in reports about what the president and his side might insist on in this debate is rolling back the sequestration cuts. I haven't heard him say much about that publicly, but reportedly that's going on behind the scenes. What do you know about that, and does that have any traction up on the Hill?
It certainly doesn't on our side of the ledger. I think the one thing we've learned about the sequester is that the world continued despite those cuts. The president, you know, I think had people convinced that airplanes were going to crash in together, be the end of the world, and we wouldn't be able to, you know, function as a nation. And clearly that's not the case. I think the cuts, even when fully implemented, were just a couple of pennies on the dollar. And I think American people knew in their hearts that the president was exaggerating, and now we sort of put the lie to his whole argument that you couldn't get by without the sequester. I'm concerned about bits and pieces of it. I'm concerned about the long-term impacts of the military. But for the most part, think the House has still offered the best plan for replacing the sequester. In fact, I don't think the Senate ever offered a plan to replace the sequester. I don't think there's much appetite to just get rid of the sequester wholeheartedly, in one piece on the House. I think we'll end up keeping the sequester in place and moving forward with these new lower spending levels.
We're talking with South Carolina Congressman Mick Mulvaney. And Congressman, let's move to the debt ceiling now. It's a little more than 2 years since the last time there was a major debate over this in Washington. But here we are headed towards a $17 trillion debt right now. And this issue comes up again. The president not only is requesting a clean extension of the debt ceiling, word from the administration is he's not even going to entertain any concessions in exchange for that, since it, according to them, should just be automatic, essentially. So what do you say to that, and what will be your demands and the demands of your colleagues in exchange for a hike?
Well, I mean, the whole, you know, I'm not going to negotiate, that's just kind of silly, isn't it? And you hate to diminish the office of the President of the United States by calling him silly, but that's just silly. I mean, we negotiate everything on this. You don't get to impose your will. You're not a dictator. You're not an emperor. We negotiate everything in Washington, D.C., and for him to say he's not going to negotiate this, it is one of the more absurd things I've heard him say out of a lot of absurd things I've heard him say. I guess if he's serious about it, it means he wants to tank the entire economy, which is just bizarre. And I'm surprised that more people aren't calling him out on that. We have always used the debt ceiling for improving our spending condition. It's the one time when people get a chance to step back and say, why do we have a debt problem? And this is our chance to at least make it a little better. I think Graham Rudman, Collings came as a result of a debt ceiling discussion a generation ago. So this is our chance to actually try and fix things. People forget. You forget what happened the last time a debt ceiling discussion ended up being the sequester of all things, if you can believe that. But again, at least it spent less money. So no, we will negotiate some type of improvements. I would like to see Obamacare delayed or defunded. It's one of our major drivers of our debt. If we can have a chance to figure out a way to reform some of the other mandatory spending programs, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. Those are the reasons that we're having debt problems going forward. We've done a pretty good job of getting discretionary spending under control. We've seen some of the slowest rates of growth of discretionary spending, and in fact, we have discretionary numbers that are actually smaller from 1 year to the next, which is, you know, a first time in a long time that's ever happened. What's driving the debt and the reason we have to continue to borrow money are our entitlement programs, the mandatory spending programs that I've mentioned. We have to fix that. And the president should know that we have to fix that. I mean, he cannot stick his head in the sand and say, we're going to just continue to borrow money, forever, 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 and not do anything about it. So it's kind of a childish position. It's kind of a silly position to say he's not going to negotiate. Really, the better way for him to participate in this process is by giving us his ideas. Let him lead on the issue and say, what does he want us to do in order to solve our long-term debt problems? Where are his ideas? What are his thoughts? Put those on the table, and let's talk about it that way. Let's not just sit here and be childish and say you're not going to negotiate on one of the most important things facing the nation. That's just crazy.
Congressman, in our last couple of minutes here, I just want to get your thoughts on the big picture of the debt debate. We've obviously, as I mentioned, headed towards $17 trillion in debt. A lot of folks say if you factor in unfunded liabilities, the number's much, much higher than that. You talked about some of the drivers of the debt that you would like to see addressed. For people looking at these virtually incomprehensible numbers out there that we're talking about, how dire is our debt problem right now?
I've run numbers that say that within my lifetime, under some fairly reasonable assumptions, every single penny that we take in as a nation will go to one thing and one thing only, and that is interest payments for the debt. You tell me if that's dire. I think we both know that it is. You cannot continue to run up this kind of debt. Right now we have no plan, none whatsoever, to ever pay it back. I think the best we've got is Paul Ryan's plan, which is a good plan, but that didn't balance the budget for 50-odd years, I think it was. So that's far too long. We have to have a plan now to start repaying this debt. As I've told people again and again and again, if I take money from you with the intention and the plan to pay it back, that is debt. If I take money from you and I never intend or have a plan to pay it back, that's theft. And that's what we're doing. We're not borrowing money right now because we have no intention of ever paying it back. We're stealing money from the next generations, and that's wrong. And we need to look at that as a moral issue. And so you ask me, is it an important issue? It's an absolute critical issue, one of the most important facing the nation, not just a fiscal issue, but a moral issue. We have to deal with it, and it's always easier to deal with these types of issues sooner rather than later.
Two quick points I want you to respond to from the other side. And speaking with defenders of the administration, they say the amount of debt isn't really that important. They say as long as we get the percentage of debt of the economy in a more reasonable place, and they believe it's now there as opposed to 2 or 3 years ago, then that's all that really matters. What do you tell them?
That's the attitude that gets you a debt that never gets paid off, ever. What they're talking about is I think the word they use is structural balance, or primary balance is the word they use, which means that effectively you're not borrowing more than 3% of your GDP a year, but you're adding to your debt every single year and you're never paying it off. You're continuing to settle your children, your grandchildren, and now even your great-grandchildren with debt. It's an immoral position to take. If you borrow money at one time, you should have to have a plan to pay it back at some reasonable point in the future. The president's last budget never balanced, ever. Never balanced. And that's, I think, 75 years we took it out. It never, ever, ever balances. That is not a plan. That's not a moral plan. That is simply ignoring your responsibilities to lead, ignoring your responsibilities to provide ideas of how to improve the country. It is essentially sticking your head in the sand and saying, I want what I want, and, you know, to heck with everybody else, and we cannot continue to run the government.
Last question. You mentioned borrowing from multiple generations to pay off our debts. The other argument we're hearing is that these other countries, China is certainly the most prominent among them that we've borrowed from, they have a vested interest in seeing a strong American economy. So the odds of them actually calling us on what we owe them is extremely low. What do you tell them on that?
Yeah, I think actually the amount of our debt that's owned by overseas government now pales in comparison to the amount of debt owned by the Federal Reserve. And the Federal Reserve obviously doesn't have any money. It prints it. It doesn't technically print it. It conjures it up on a computer screen. That's what bothers me. Much more than the money that we owe to other governments is the money that we are printing every single month. I think now it's the Fed is $85 billion a month. Is that what it is? That is new money that they are printing or conjuring up on a computer screen and pumping into the economy. It values the money that we have. It creates tremendous risks for us as a nation going forward. That's what bothers me more than the foreign nations that have our debt, because to your exact point, there's some self-interest there. They wouldn't do anything to dramatically harm the American economy. But we have allowed the Federal Reserve to become such a large owner of our debt with printed money that we have exposed ourselves to fiscal shocks, the likes of which we've not seen for generations.
Congressman, fascinating debate to come. Thank you very much for helping us take a look forward.
Greg, thanks again. I'll talk to you soon.
You bet, sir. South Carolina Republican Congressman Mick Mulvaney represents his state's 5th congressional district. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.